If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This great promise of Scripture, of course, is one that if you have been a Christian for any length of time, you are probably familiar with. The great promise that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and He is just and He will forgive us our sins. And, of course, the basis for our understanding our forgiveness is the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is that Jesus Christ has accomplished what He accomplished on the cross that is the basis for the forgiveness of God. There is no forgiveness apart from that. In other words, one of the things that we want to make sure right from the outset, and this even isn't even really my main point to you about this verse this morning, but I want us to understand that there is really no forgiveness apart from the cross of Christ. God is not winking at our sin. Some of you are grandfathers. And as grandfathers, when your grandchildren do something naughty, don't sometimes you just wink at it and sort of pretend almost as if you didn't see it? A little bit off the hook because you know that the real dad will have to step in and do the punishing later on. And you grandfathers get it easy. Well, God is not like that. God doesn't wink at our wrongdoings. It's not as though forgiveness means He just pretends that our sins did not happen. No, quite to the contrary, God is very conscious about the fact that we have not been the people we were made and meant to be. God is quite honest about the fact that we are those who have not lived up to the standards that He has set. And that's why He says, following in verse 10, if we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar. And the truth is not in us. Because God is the one who has said, who has declared, that every man has fallen short of the beauty of God's plan. Every one of us have not been the man or the woman or the boy or the girl that God intends us to be. We have all fallen short of the mark of God. We have hamartiaed is the Greek word. We have missed the mark. Instead of hitting the bullseye, we've been way off the mark. And that is the way we live our lives, off the mark of what God wants and even what God has a right by virtue of His holiness to demand. The basis for our forgiveness is not that God winks at our sin. The basis of our forgiveness is that God poured out the anger against sin on His Son. In other words, God has punished sin. And He has punished it in the person of His Son. His Son bore His own wrath for us. We deserve the wrath of God. But God instead has not given us His own wrath, which we deserve, but poured it out on His Son. Some people think that when God forgives us our sin, it means He doesn't get angry at us anymore. Well, yes and no. God gets angry. His nature, along with His nature of love, is to be angry at sin. But His anger is poured out not on us. It is averted. It is turned aside to His own Son, the Son of His love. The gospel is nothing short of this, brothers and sisters, that God so loved you and me that He averted His righteous anger away from us to the Son of His love. But all that isn't even really what I want to say to you about this verse. That's just prelude. Two quick points. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us. What does it mean to confess our sins? Let me, and I mentioned this last week, so I'm coming back to a point I made last week, but I want to make it with a little bit more definiteness this morning. Is this confessing my sin? Oh Lord, forgive me all my many sins. It is not. The Lord's Prayer, where we are told in the Lord's Prayer to pray, forgive us our trespasses or forgive us our debts, is that really a prayer of confession? No. The Lord's Prayer, though it's fine for us to say it together as we do almost every Sunday, is really a model prayer, that it is an outline of the things about which we are to pray about. So when we come to debts or trespasses, we are to pray about what our specific debts and trespasses are. Confession, brothers and sisters, is not a general or bland prayer for the forgiveness of God. It is to name before God the specific ways in which I have trespassed, the specific ways in which I have incurred a debt by virtue of the way I have lived or not lived. To confess is to agree with God that I am wrong. To agree with God that something I have said, done, or spoken is contrary to His law, and to be specific about it. My job is to confess specifically my sin, to name the specific wrong, the lust, the anger, the thought, the word, the overindulgence. Whatever the issue is, it is not enough for me to simply say, Lord, forgive me my sins. What God wants from us is for us to agree with Him and to say, I have done this. Fill in the blank. When we do that, when we are specific about our sins, and I trust that later in the communion liturgy, as we come to the Lord's table, you will take opportunity that the liturgy provides, that the words there provide, to offer up to the Lord your specific confession. When you do that, it says here in this verse that the Lord's job is to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We ask we confess our sins specifically. The Lord forgives specifically. We don't ask for forgiveness. He does it. Did you hear me? I actually think it's a wrong prayer to ask for forgiveness. It's bordering on a wrong motive. Because if you ask for forgiveness, you're not doing what the Lord said to do. The Lord said, confess, don't ask for forgiveness. Confess. And as you and I confess our sins, specific sins, it is the Lord's responsibility, indeed it is the Lord's job by His mercy and grace to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what does that mean? I think if we had more time, I could prove this to you from a closer examination of the specific words, but let me just summarize here. Sin exists on two levels in our lives, at least. One is the conscious level. It is the Holy Spirit who brings to our conscious mind those specific things we should confess. But underneath the conscious level is a whole way of thinking, a whole predisposition, attitudes of mind and heart, predispositions of our lives, which are really there from birth, that propel us in the direction of sin, that move us inevitably in that direction. There's so much that is, as it were, unconscious, that we're barely aware of, that is under the surface. The promise of God is that as we deal with conscious and known sin, He will not only forgive us for conscious and known sin, but He will work within us the process of cleansing us from all unrighteousness. In other words, the depth of unconscious sin will be cleansed from us in an ongoing way as we confess and believe, confess and believe, confess and believe. Why are so many Christian lives so powerless? Why is there no power in our lives? Why is there no reality? As I said last week, it is because our hearts are deeply gripped by other things. And how does the power of sin, of canceled sin, get broken in our lives? How does the power of sin come unraveled in our hearts? It is as we confess conscious sin, God, by His grace, begins a wonderful work over time, not all at once, but over time, of loosening the grip of that sin and even other unconscious sins, loosening the grip of sin on our hearts. We are powerless Christians because we love other things beside God. And as we learn to confess our specific sins to God, He loosens the power of canceled sin. And gradually our hearts become freer so that we might respond to the Lord as His sons and His daughters. When you come to the Lord's table this morning, please come confessing specific sins. Let me put it to you bluntly. If you can't think of a specific sin to confess to the Lord this morning, please do not take communion, because something isn't right in your heart. Surely there is something you should say to the Lord about the way you have not pleased Him. And as you confess specific sin, God, by His grace, will loosen the grip of sin on your heart and begin the mighty work of His blood, the mighty work of cleansing us, cleansing you from all unrighteousness, until one day He presents you before the Father and He says, look, not one sin, not one spot, not one thing wrong. For this one, My blood has cleansed.